All right, welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
All right, so this time we're going to sit down to six beer from Winnipeg again.
Sweet.
Got another set of beers from Kilter, Devil May Care, and Stone Angel Brewing. So I think we've mentioned it before, but they're all brewed out of Stone Angel Brewing. So today we've got the Fog Machine Vic Secret Double IPA from Kilter. Got the Fudge Double Chocolate Stout from Kilter. We've got Get Up Off That Thing, a Soulful Brown Ale. None Shall Pass Oatmeal Stout again from Devil May Care. And nice. Then the Mountain Joy XX Oatmeal Stout. And the Marcellus Peanut Butter Stout.
So, peanut butter. Okay.
We'll see how this goes.
We're going to do all six in one episode?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
All right.
And I have not tried any of these yet, so they're all going to be pretty blind for me.
I haven't tried any of these either.
But I've been holding on to these for a while.
Sweet.
All right, well, why don't we start with the Fog Machine Double IPA, because it's kind of the...
it's the lighter of them all.
Kind of the throwaway when it comes to all these browns and stouts, right?
Yeah. Get it out of the way. Double IPAs are nice, though. Does it say anything about the hops or anything?
Well, it says it's a Vic Secret Double IPA.
Okay.
So it says, a Fog Machine, a super hoppy, juicy, and foggy Double IPA. Double dry hop with 100% Vic Secret.
Oh, all right. So
8%.
Single hop. 8%? That sounds like a double.
Yeah. Nice and light.
Perfect. good way to get started.
Why mess around?
Right? Get where you're going. Oh, wow.
I can smell it from here, and you were just pouring it on the edge of the table.
It's big. It's citrusy. It's like tropical. Oh, it's like pineapple and all kinds of fruity goodness, mango and things
mango.
In there. Oh, God.
A bit of orange juice, too.
Oh, yeah. That is amazing.
Not getting really anything but fruit.
Yeah, just super fruity.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, citrus and tropical. Wow. Oh, it's got a nice smooth body.
Yeah, it follows through pretty good there. It's lots of mango and pineapple going on.
Hmm. Wow. Got big hop flavor, but it's not that, it doesn't have that scratchiness at the back of your throat kind of thing when you really overdo the resin, you know?
You can really feel like the flavor up at the front of your mouth. But it doesn't really go back to the very back of your mouth either.
Yeah, perfect. That's the nice threshold. You get the wicked bitterness and everything without that scratchy.
Yeah, it's quite bitter, actually, for this style of beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice.
It's got that crazy sweet body to back it up, though.
Yeah. It's not a lactose beer, but it's almost got a lactose sweetness to it.
Mm. It doesn't have lactose, eh?
Well, at least I'm not seeing that anywhere here.
It's not in the ingredients. Okay.
Well, it doesn't really say the ingredients. It just says that it's Vic Secret. So I could be totally wrong. It could be a milkshake IPA, but usually they tell you.
Yeah, that's really nice. It's got a nice bite up front. It's boozy, but it's not super noticeable. It's there.
Yeah,
I get a bit of the heat, but it's not burning at all. It's not super noticeable.
There's a little bit of resin in the flavor that's kind of building as I sip it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty damn well done. And what'd you say it was? 8%?
Yep.
Dang.
Packaged on March 13th.
Oh, okay.
So that's a... You know,
it's fairly fresh still.
Almost a month old.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn fresh.
Yeah. And you picked this up when you were in when...
Oh, I got this in trade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Through the black market, huh?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You got your
yeast samples, right?
Yeah, this is excellent. I really like this. I mean, hazy IPAs aren't really my style. I do drink them occasionally, and I'd like this. I would drink more than one of these.
Yeah, so would I. I'm kind of sad that I only got the one. Although I'm happy because I had other ones that I got in trade too, and I sampled a whole bunch of them. I'm happy I saved this one to share because it's quite nice.
Yeah, it's excellent. Very good. What did I have? Oh, earlier today I had a local one from Port Moody, from Moody Ales. So that's Super Simcoe.
Okay, yes.
And it reminded me a little bit of this, but it was... a little more subtle even, like the hops weren't like slapping you. It was a little more subdued. It was quite drinkable. Really nice.
I'm quite happy with this one.
Yeah. It's got an interesting color to it. It's got that orangish kind of hue to it. It almost looks like, like a glass of tropical juice.
Yeah, pineapple juice or something.
Yeah.
It's not quite as murky as some.
No, it's not. It's still hazy, but it's not like crazy hazy.
Yeah.
You can see through it a bit.
Not much. You can see there's a finger behind it when you put your finger there, but you can't tell exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some lately that are like so opaque.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man. I didn't know it was a contest.
Yes, it is. I'm all for the contest.
Oh, when you can stand your spoon up in it.
I always laughed when they used to say that about like Guinness and stuff. It's like, what are you freaking talking about? Stuff's so thin. There's probably going to be a juicy IPA where you can do that.
It could happen. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, Guinness is quite light. It doesn't have a lot of body to it.
No, it doesn't. It's just the nitro people. It's
fermented right out. There's no sugars left, really. Yeah.
It's just the nitro head, right?
Yeah.
Feels a little creamy to people.
Well, and then the darker malts give you that sort of impression of heaviness, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, when you get into some of the like pastry stouts, then you actually get thickness, right? Yeah. It could be like the consistency of syrup, right?
You get that sludge at the bottom.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. You know it's going to be a good beer when it sticks to the glass and doesn't come back down the glass? Just like a film.
Yeah, this is good. And I love the haze level. It doesn't need to be ridiculously hazy to be a hazy.
No, exactly.
Dang.
All right, well, let's move on to the brown ale. I'm always a fan of brown ales, and you don't see enough of them really out there because they don't sell all that well for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
But this is the Get Off That Thang.
Get them off that thang.
A soulful brown ale, 5.3% alcohol, 27 IBU. At the end of a long week, we like to get our brew on while we also get our groove on. We can't explain it. But it just feels good. So good.
Feels good. So good.
There you go.
All right. Let's see how brown this brown ale is.
Yeah, because it can be such a varied color. Ah, it's pretty brown, actually. Brown. Yeah.
It's not crazy, crazy brown, but...
It's also not the stuff that's kind of like a really light amber color that I'm like, that's not brown.
Yeah, that's like a deep mahogany.
Rich mahogany.
It's got that reddish hue. It's got the tan... Creamy tan head.
It's got that thang going on.
Ooh. It's got an interesting aroma. Picking up crystal malt and a little yeast. Almost like a little bit of a smoky character.
Mm-hmm.
Must be from the malt component, or the roasted malt.
I'm getting something. It's sweet. It's not quite chocolate, but there's...
Yeah, there's crystal malts in there.
That's what it is? Yeah.
Unfermentables, they'll give you the toffee and the caramel and that kind of thing.
Okay, that must be it, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's quite rich. Smells nice.
It's rich. It's, wow.
Not getting any kind of bitterness or anything on there at all.
Well, you shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, the hops are there just for balance, really. Wow.
It's pretty mild.
It is.
There's a bit of, almost like cinnamon on there.
It's getting like a chocolatey kind of thing. It's definitely lighter in body. It's does not in a lot of sweetness there. It's fermented out fairly completely. It's got like a nutty, grainy kind of thing.
I'm just getting sort of like that spice of some sort that I was kind of thinking cinnamon at first. Some kind of spice in there.
I think you might be right. I don't know what it is, though. Maybe like a hint of vanilla or something like that.
That could be it, too, yeah.
That is...
It's not bad, but yeah, I'm surprised how thin it is.
It's not bad for a brown ale. It's a little more geared toward the chocolatey end of things.
Yeah.
Probably pair nice with chocolate.
It's funny, too, because so many brown ales are really good to cook with. I don't know if this is quite the one I would cook with.
Yeah, I don't think so, no. This doesn't have quite the earthy kind of things you get from some of them that works really good in stews and stuff.
No, exactly, yeah.
I think this is too chocolatey. It's more of a dessert angled.
Make a cake with it.
Yeah, that might work. Yeah. Put in a chocolate cake.
Probably work really well. I've done lots of, well, not a lot, but I've done some baking in the past with... Like chocolate stouts, imperial stouts.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if this would work with candied bacon.
Like make a reduction with it?
Yeah. And then you brush it on the bacon.
I don't know if there's enough sweetness in
probably
there.
Probably not, yeah.
So as it reduces, you're also going to reduce the bitterness, right?
True, yeah. Keep with the cake then, probably.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Again, not my favorite style. It wouldn't be one I would order if I had a list of six.
Yeah.
Right? But... If I was doing a flight, I'd probably try it.
Well, that's part of the problem, I think, why a lot of breweries just don't do brown ales anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's usually, where are the IPAs? Where are the imperial stouts? Where's the this? Oh, there's a brown ale. I'll try it next time.
This is a 5.3. If this was a percent less, like a 4.3, this you could call this a mild.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very easy to drink.
I'm trying to think if there's any brown ales locally that kind of remind me of this, but I'm not really pulling anything. Yeah.
First of all, the only one that really comes to mind is that Two Wolves one is a little lighter like that.
Yeah.
Right? But not as chocolatey. That one's a little more towards the toffee end. But you know who makes a brown ale locally that sells apparently quite well is the Moody. Hardy Brown.
The Hardy Brown, yeah.
Apparently that sells fairly well. They make a lot of it.
That is true, yeah. And I mean, House Sound's got the Rail Ale, I think it is called. Mm. It's always around, so it must sell fairly well.
Yeah. I don't know who's buying it. The expats.
Maybe, yeah. That's one of the ones I'd buy to cook with, actually.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, right?
And then you've got a liter of it, so you half for cooking, half for drinking, right?
Yeah. It's like making a stew with wine, right? Cup for the stew, the rest for me.
I wouldn't know what to do with the rest of the wine.
What does it say? At the end of... Oh, you already read this, didn't
you?
Yeah,
it's the second paragraph I didn't read.
It was... On one of these soul Sundays where we conceived this brew, after all, classic brown ale and soul music have a lot in common. They're hearty, deep, and full of character. Timeless, classic, and always keep us coming back. Hey, the style even shares a name with the Godfather himself. We hope you enjoy our take on one of our favorite styles, the brown ale. We hope it makes you strut, stride, and dance till you feel better.
Hmm.
I'm not sure it makes me feel like dancing, but...
But every sip makes me feel better.
Yeah, maybe if I had a few more.
Maybe by the end of the six, right?
Maybe.
Still doubt it, though.
I dance like Elaine. Hmm. Yeah, you know what? Not high on my list of brown ales.
Yeah. I'm probably going to finish it, though, but...
Yeah, I've had better, but... I think with the right meal, this would go really well.
Yeah.
Match really nicely with, like, I don't know, venison or something.
That might work, yeah. Do you want to read the next one out?
I'd love to. Can I use my radio voice?
Yes, please. Make it more interesting.
From Stone Angel Brewing Company comes Mount Joy Double X Oatmeal Irish Stout. This is a strong beer. 6.2%, 35 IBU. From Stone Angel Brewing in Winnipeg. Wow. So barley, oatmeal, water, hops. From the Middle Ages onwards, due to the difficulty in growing barley in a wet climate, the Irish used more oatmeal in their beers than the neighboring English. This Irish dry stout has been brewed with lots of oatmeal for a thicker mouthfeel, bringing some sweetness to balance the subtle roast flavors of the barley. Traditionally, the X denoted alcoholic strength ranging from a single to a triple X, slaint. So this is a double X, so this would be mid-strength. At 6.25.
All right, well, let's crack that bugger open. Woo-hoo. That one's coming up out of the spout there.
It's lively. Yeah, I like oatmeal in my stout. It gives it a nice body and a great mouthfeel usually. Nice and creamy.
I love oatmeal in my beer, period. IPAs, stouts.
It also gives you a good excuse to call it a breakfast stout.
Yeah, a little bit of coffee too, right? And then it'll really
if it's got coffee and oatmeal, then that's a no-brainer, right? That's breakfast.
Just gotta put some bacon in it.
We did that a couple of years back. My homebrew club, we did a bacon bourbon stout.
With real bacon?
Yeah. I fat washed some bourbon with bacon fat.
Nice.
So I took a bottle of Bullet bourbon, did the fat wash with like a pound of bacon. So it had this crazy smoky flavor to the bourbon.
Yeah.
And then we poured that into the cask of stout.
Ah, I bet it had a terrible head.
Oh, I don't recall, to be honest with you, but it was delicious.
I hear that's part of the problem, even with just like peanut butter stouts, is the oils from peanut butter can
yeah.
just kill your
yeah,
head.
That can be a problem getting the oils in there. The thing with the fat washing is, through the process, not much oil really makes it through.
Oh, okay.
So what you do is you take, like in this case, the bacon fat. I let it cool down to room temperature, but it was still liquid.
Yeah.
Poured the Bullet bourbon into a pitcher. Again, at room temperature, stirred them up really good.
Yeah.
Let it settle, put a piece of plastic over the top, threw it in the fridge. And then I gave it a stir every hour or so for a couple hours. And then overnight, the fat all rises to the top and congeals.
Yeah.
So in the morning, I take the fat off the top as a puck, filter the rest through a cheesecloth.
Okay.
Bada boom. So there's not really any fat or oils that make it through. You just get the flavors.
Makes sense, yeah.
They do it with butter a lot too, apparently. So you can get like a butter infused vodka or whiskey or rum, right? Like a butter infused rum would be primo.
Okay. Never tried that before.
Yeah. Fat washing.
Huh. Okay.
Google it.
But should have used that bacon fat on the weekend properly.
So yeah, I don't think we had oatmeal in that stout, but that would have made it the perfect breakfast.
Well, you really messed up there. Should have been throw in some like crappy coffee and throw in.
And we weren't really aiming for the breakfast angle. Yeah. It was more of a barbecue angle. So we actually had some smoked malts. I believe it was mesquite smoked or something stupid like that. It was one of the woods you'd use for smoking meats. So that gave it a bit of a smoky bacon thing too.
That sounds really interesting.
It was delish. We won. It was a contest and we won.
Should make it again.
Yeah, it was really time consuming and expensive.
I believe it.
It'd be fun to make it again one day though. Oh, wow.
That's got a really nice chocolatey aroma. We haven't even talked about the aroma yet.
And it's so chocolatey.
Yeah, huge chocolate. A little bit of roast, but mostly chocolate.
Mm. Yeah, and that's all I'm getting in the flavor is chocolate. You get that chocolatey, vanilla-y.
Yeah, vanilla sweetness on the nose. Yeah.
Little bit of a roasted thing in there.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
It's very chocolatey.
So chocolatey. That is wild. That's interesting. As a dry Irish oatmeal stout, I'm not sure it's nailing it.
Good thing I don't care about style guidelines.
Yeah.
It's a little bit thin for what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice flavor, but it's kind of thin. I'd like a little more depth, like a little bit more roast or something in there.
It's a little thin and it's lacking something. It's a little one-dimensional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get that chocolate and everything and then... Mm.
I'm happy to say, I'm not getting any off flavors personally.
No, not at all.
It's just a little one-dimensional.
Yeah, a little deeper would be nice. Especially, that's interesting if it's got an oatmeal stout that it's so thin.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised it's at 6.25% alcohol, because I would almost say this could have been 4 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels and tastes like a smaller beer.
Yeah, which in a lot of ways, that's not a bad thing at all, because... If you can hide some ABV in a beer, you're doing it right.
These could sneak up on you, I guess, right? Like, you could knock these back pretty quick.
But it's definitely showing they've got skill at brewing, because it's not easy to hide alcohol.
True enough, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It's easy to make a big beer. It's hard to make it taste really good.
If you ferment at too warm of a temperature, and it's going to be really detectable. So, they're skilled enough to know how to make beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. I don't know if I'd make it again.
Maybe a little tweak here or there, you know.
Yeah, I would work on it. I think a little more body in that would be good.
You know, there is a lot of chocolate flavor, but ratchet the chocolate up or something, like turn something up.
Yeah, you could to 11. You could definitely morph this recipe into like a s'more.
Yeah, oh, thing definitely. Or
something.
Yeah.
It's really close to something like that. You put a little graham cracker in here. Yeah, I think you'd be getting close.
Throw some marshmallows in it. Come on, right? You won't taste it, but whatever.
That's just vanilla flavored sugar and gelatin.
Exactly.
But yeah, that would work.
Or you could just throw some vanilla in there.
And some gelatin.
Well, you could do that too, yeah.
I always put gelatin in my beer. Well, when I bottle condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's not, so far, this is my least favorite.
Not everyone's going to win, right?
That's too bad, too, because I'm an Irish stout guy. Oh, well. Yeah, that was... I don't think that lives up to its description. I think that's the biggest problem with it.
Yeah.
So even right on the label, it says thicker mouthfeel.
Yeah, and it's pretty thin. That was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, they missed it.
Yeah. What can you do?
And it says sweetness, too. I didn't find a lot of sweetness in there, either. But a dry stout.
Yeah, I mean, it's chocolate. It's just not sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to rename it. It's weird. There's a bit of a coffee thing in there, too. I don't know. I always tell people, it doesn't matter what you intended it to be.
Yeah.
Always call it or enter it into contests how it turned out.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember one year I made an IPA one year. An IPA. It didn't turn out nearly as hoppy as I'd hoped.
Yeah.
And I think I missed my gravity, so it was a little lower ABV as well. So I entered it as a pale ale.
Yep.
And I won.
There you go. Well, I was listening to, it's actually just came out today, a podcast from Indie Beer Show about Lost Abbey's Duck Duck Goose. Mm. And they've been entering it into not a goose category, but it was like a barrel-aged sour category. Because that's just what it, even though it's a goose and it's a 1, 2, 3-year-old beer, it fit better in that category. Yeah. And they won.
At the end of the day, it's does it match the flavor, the taste, the appearance profile of that description where you've entered it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might be technically that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you just got to call it something else.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, half the, like, the juicy IPAs that everyone's dying for right now. Up until more recently, didn't have a category you could even put it in.
It'd be another.
Or specialty IPA, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they even have a category for it now?
Yeah, no. They do on the BJCP, I think it is.
Because I know they added a bunch of years, a couple of years ago, they added like white and black IPAs and all these other things. Was Hazy part of that?
Yes, I think Northeast? It was. I forget exactly what they called it, but remember. I think they did.
I'd have to look back. They added so many.
I just care so little about the style guidelines.
Oh, you're like Adam Chapper.
Am I? Okay, yeah.
Chapper hates them. He doesn't have a place for them. He doesn't even want to talk about them.
Yeah.
The first thing he was at that What's Brewing thing we did last year at Legacy.
Yeah.
So I got up and I talked a little bit about the guidelines and showed the tasting sheets and the descriptors and stuff. And so Chapper stands up and he goes, "All right, the first thing I do is," and he picks up the sheet with the tasting notes and everything, and he rips it right in half and goes, "First thing I do is get rid of this."
That's awesome. Nice.
Because, yeah, at the end of the day, you're making beer, and, you know, it's nice not to be held down by guidelines.
Yeah, for sure.
And you can be creative and make whatever the hell you want. But at the end of the day, if you want to win a contest,
yeah,
unfortunately, that's the way it works. You're going to have to figure out where it works, what category it works in, and that's the only way you're going to win a contest.
Yeah, I just find that too many breweries will get pigeonholed and, "I've got to make this style, so I got to keep it within." It's like, no, just fucking throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks, and if it's a good beer, it's a good beer. Who cares if it's a proper IPA or a proper brown or a whatever, right?
If what you care about is accumulating awards, then that matters to you.
Yeah.
If what you care about is making beer that people love and selling it and making money, then do that.
Yeah. And I think that's the part of the problem is the awards work really well for the mass market, I think. And they probably matter a little less to the beer geek because they're just going to go in and go, "That sounds good. Holy shit, that's good," right? They're not going to care if it wins 15 awards.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily picking beer out on the shelves by how many medals they've won.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, because everyone loves to win an award in anything, right? So when you win, you're going to be excited about it. But
yeah, yeah. How much water do they really hold is the question.
I mean, we know they can. You just have to look at Powell Street.
Well,
you know, when they won that first award,
that was a big deal for
them. They kept on running out of beer, and it was stressful because they'd brew a beer, it'd be ready, and it'd be gone that day.
Yeah.
And then they were out of beer for a week again.
Pushed them to the next level very quickly.
It forced them out of that space, yeah.
Maybe too quickly.
Probably not, because that space doesn't seem to do well for breweries. Sorry, Evan.
There's another brewery moving in.
Yeah, I know.
Have we found out who yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
I already feel bad for them, though.
Better start planning for your next space, boys. Yes. Unless you make crappy
Or ladies.
We
have no idea yet.
True enough.
All right, let's rinse these glasses.
All right. This one sounds exciting.
It's got a lot of writing on it. I'll let you read it.
Well, this one's got a fancy-looking black knight on the front here. He looks like John Cleese in the Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
None shall pass.
Like, it's got a lot more limbs than the Monty Python Black Knight.
It certainly does.
Just a flesh wound.
So this is from Devil May Care Brewing Company out of Winnipeg.
Same brewery, yeah.
Yeah, they brew out of the same place. Stone Angel, I believe. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yes, Stone Angel. So this is Devil May Care None Shall Pass Oatmeal Stout. 6%, 28 IBU. It's a strong beer. What do we have here? You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me? Boasting big notes of dark chocolate, coffee, figs, and dates, this oatmeal stout packs a flavor punch as bold as the Black Knight himself. It's the perfect stout for unwinding after a long day of pushing the Pram-a-lot. Cutting down large trees with a herring or getting a new shrubbery. One that looks nice, but's not too expensive.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Me. Enjoy it by yourself or share with a friend called Dennis. Now, what are you waiting for? Get on with it. Suggested pairings, chocolate cake, grilled minstrel, and killer rabbit stew.
Nice. So you silly is, English can make it.
Yeah, this is clearly some kind of homage to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Maybe some coconut.
Yeah, totally. Dennis. That's awesome. Oh, Jesus.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, Jesus. It's a lively one. Here it comes. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I've got a lot of head in my glass. Woo! Okay. So that was a lively one. Be careful open these ones. Dang. It was a little tiny bit overcarbonated.
Well, I'm glad that it all stayed on the table.
Yes. No need to clean the carpets.
Someone tried to pass.
Yes. What's the average wingspan of an African swallow? Oh, no, that's just swallowing that. African or European? Anyhow.
Yeah, that is really carbonated. I was pouring it really, really softly.
Yeah, okay, so that's not a good sign. Let's say it's a dense, thick, rocky head.
yes, it is.
off-white, I would call that tan.
It's tan or brown, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a opaque black color.
Wow, is it ever. Yeah, that is very dark. Super dark. Wow.
Got a nice chocolate and roast aroma.
And rich. Yeah, you're getting that dried fruit and all that stuff.
Some toffee or something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely caramely, roasty. Wow.
I'm liking the aroma a lot.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It is lively on the tongue, though. Wow.
Mm.
Big roast.
Wow.
Kind of some ash going on there.
Yeah. Getting lots of... caramel malts.
It's interesting, too, because the aroma is so sweet, and it is so dry.
Yeah, it's not super sweet on the tongue.
No, like there's hints of chocolate. There's hints of some toffee or something, but it's mostly roast and ash. And
Yeah, you're getting that roasty, malty. Not a lot of bitterness, either. The bitterness is mostly coming from the roasted malts. Hmm. That's interesting.
As Warren pours a little more.
Yes.
And you know what? It didn't pour quite as crazily that time.
Yeah, I think...
it settled a bit.
It's just a little bit over. So, yeah, it may have fermented just slightly more in the can.
Yeah, maybe.
But...
so maybe it's 6.2 or something.
So maybe that's a good thing,
though. Yeah.
These might keep for a while without oxidizing. It's a secondary in the can.
That never hurts, right? It didn't blow up. That's all that matters.
Hmm. It's actually quite good. It's for something that I was expecting to be so big and bold, it's actually pretty easy. It's,
this could almost pass for that dry Irish stout.
Yeah.
Because it's a super dry stout, right?
It is. Yeah, that's more what I expect out of that can, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got the body.
Yeah. No, this is decent for sure. Yeah, I like this a lot better. What's the percentage? Still only 6. Okay, well, that's not bad.
Like you said, it might be a little higher, 6.1, 6.2.
Probably.
A little more fermentation. Probably not a ton, but a little bit more.
Yeah, because some of that sweetness is gone that they described on the can, so that's likely what happened. I'll take it.
And it'll explain the
excited
can, too.
This might be really good with a scoop of vanilla in it. Ice cream.
I've got some vanilla in the freezer.
You ever had a stout float?
Oh, yeah.
This would be appropriate, I think. This has the right flavors with that roasty.
Without
being too sweet, the ice cream would work with it.
That's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the excitement of opening the can, I'm surprised how good it is. Because it can be a bad sign, right?
Yeah, gushing like that could sometimes be like an oxidized thing or
right? A sour infection.
Or even worse, yeah. Yeah, something really bad.
I've definitely had one of those bottles before.
My brother-in-law is really bad at collecting beers.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'll head over to his house and it's like beer roulette.
You
never know when you pop one and it's going to hit the ceiling.
Yeah, one of the episodes of Brew Crime we recorded, I opened this bottle and poof, and it was just like all over me. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
It
happens.
Yeah, I wasn't super happy. I had to go get changed. I was so soaked from the beer.
Dang.
Yeah. Still tasted good, just not the way it should have.
Homebrewers run into that a lot, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, I've definitely had a beer skyrocket onto Evan Doan's ceiling, so yes. And his now wife did not kill me for it, so it was good.
I've had the odd one that's a little overcarbonated. It happens. I've got some actually right now. It was Saison, and wow. The more it aged, the more fizz it has. So I've actually they're in flip tops.
Okay, yeah.
So you just crack them open a little bit and let the pressure off. And then put it back on.
Yeah.
Just let the pressure off a little each day.
Before it rockets.
Do it about 4 or 5 times. And put it in the fridge and hope for the best.
Or you bring one outside and shake it a little more and run.
Yeah, no. I want it to go in my glass. I want to drink it.
I don't blame you. It still tastes good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a brute Saison now.
Well, Saisons are supposed to be like lively like that. They're supposed to be really fizzy.
As long as it doesn't hit the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. So you pour it and you got 3/4 of the glass's head. Gives you good aroma.
Get a bigger glass.
Fishbowl.
2-liter
glass for a half liter.
As long as you don't lose any beer, you get it all back, right?
Definitely.
Alrighty.
All right, so None Shall Pass. That was pretty good. Not as sweet and complex as the label might have described, but a decent stout nonetheless.
So the next one is from Stone Angel Brewing again. This is the Marcellus Peanut Butter Stout. 4.5% alcohol, 20 IBU. A smooth and rich peanut butter stout named after Marcellus Gilmore Edson, the originator of peanut butter. Oh. As we know it today, a Canadian, he devised it in 1884 as a delicious and nutritious foodstuff for those who were unable to chew solid food. Who knew?
That's news to me.
Along with creamy roast peanut, are warm notes of chocolate making the stout a comforting treat on winter days. Who friggin' knew that peanut butter was a Canadian invention?
Well, I knew it was Canadian, but the name I always heard associated with it was something different.
Oh.
Something Carver? I believe.
Maybe they were partners.
Yeah, probably some American that they're trying to change the history books with. No, we
that,
made
that never
butter.
Happens.
Next, they're going to try and say they invented basketball.
Although it was a Canadian in the United States that created it.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Well, he's
poor first.
It belongs to them then.
I forget what university it was, but it was a Canadian down there as a teacher.
Really?
That's yeah, they had funny. One of those Canadian moment whatever commercials back in the day. Yeah.
I thought it was in Ontario or something.
No, it was probably down in like New York or something.
Oh my God, it smells like peanuts. It smells like peanut butter. Oh my God, it's not quite chocolatey enough to smell like a Reese's peanut butter cup, but you get that peanut butter thing.
It's on the way though?
Yeah, if you had that other beer that...
Holy shit, yeah.
Okay, so if you took this, where was it here? This one. If you took the Mountain Joy Double X and you mixed it with this one... What's this one called?
The Marcellus.
The Marcellus. So if you did a Marcellus Joy Double X, that would taste like a Reese's.
It probably would. It's too bad we don't have any left of that now. But yeah, no, it's so much peanut butter.
That's all I'm smelling. It was peanut butter. Little tiny bit of beer in the background.
Yeah. Wow.
Little roast. Yeah, it's quite dark.
Yeah, we should say, yeah, it is opaque.
Yeah, super
light
dark.
Light brown head.
Super dark. Light head. Not nearly as thick and heavy as the last one. Probably because the carbonation is normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the flavor is chocolate and peanut butter.
Wow.
The face.
That's weird.
I quite like this. I'm not a fan of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but I do like this mix of peanut butter and chocolate, or peanut and chocolate.
It tastes more chocolatey than it smells.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely peanut butter and chocolate.
But not much
else,
really.
There's even a little sweetness in there.
Yeah. Maybe hint of roast in there or something? Mm-hmm. But
just
a
hint. Well, from the color, right? So there's got to be some black patent in there or something.
Something, yeah.
Hmm.
I'm actually quite a fan of this one.
That is strange. Yeah, it's not nearly as bad as I thought it
was.
This
is my number two of the night so far.
I'm not a huge fan of peanut butter in my beer, but this is actually all right.
Or mint or chocolate, you know.
Which is, yeah. But Kevin made a damn chocolate mint beer that was drinkable.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
This is crazy.
I was hoping it would be a little sweeter, actually, that beer.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. It was good, though. It tasted like a friggin' after mint or dinner mint.
Did you just admit it was good?
Yeah.
He's going to hear that, you know.
Probably not.
Oh, he listens.
I give it. Yeah, this is actually exactly what they say it is. They say it's a peanut butter stout. That's a peanut butter stout. You can't argue it.
No, you can't. And I'm going to drink this one.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's it's a little subdued. But, yeah. So it's actually not nearly as heavy as I expected. I was expecting more of a body and that kind of thing. But, oh, okay, it's only 4.5%. Oh, this is a fairly light beer then.
Yeah, no, it's packing a punch for flavor.
Interesting, okay.
For what it is, yeah.
Yeah. You know, for what they say it is on the can, I think they nailed it.
Yeah. And like I said, like this is so far my second favorite of the bunch.
Mm.
Fog Machine, the IPA, is still my favorite.
Yeah, the Fog was really good. This is damn interesting. And it's not super heavy. You could drink this quite easily and not be bloated or full or whatever, which can happen with some stouts.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a nice replacement for like a shitty Guinness or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's not super thick. It's kind of like that, but it's got tons of flavor instead.
Yeah, that's
and it's
nice.
Actually a very similar ABV to a Guinness, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Guinness is just 4.8 or 5. Yeah, that's that's not bad. I got nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
That's exactly what they advertised on the can.
You're the biggest critic of the group, which is good because you're the only...
I don't mind.
Only real brewer.
I don't mind when people come and tell me that they're upset that I wasn't happy with their beer.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. At the end of the day, not every beer is going to impress everybody.
No, exactly, right? Yeah.
And there's lots of beers out there that probably win gold medals that I'm not a fan of. So what?
Yeah. And then there's ones that don't win any awards that are your favorites,
I love.
Right?
Yeah, you bet. So, yeah, whatever. It's all subjective.
Exactly. Drink what you like.
Absolutely. Even if it's Budweiser.
Yeah. Or whatever it is that Carnell likes. Let's call him out again.
What was he talking about the other day?
Oh, fuck.
Carlsberg or some stuff?
No, it wasn't that.
No?
Probably shittier, though.
And Bombay.
It was Bombay a malt beverage? It was still a malt beverage. And probably corn.
Okay, sorry. We can talk about him when he's not here.
And when he's here.
Well, that too. I was going to say, this is we're going to be missing his youthful enthusiasm this evening.
Yes, exuberance. And his lack of knowledge on beets.
He's never going to live that one down.
I think we should all brew a beet beer.
I'd love to, especially if we get to do it at Old Abbey. I mean, that was friggin' phenomenal.
All right, well, let's try to get a hold of Steve then and see if he wants to do a variant of that as a collab.
He told me it was a major pain in the ass making that beer.
Yeah, so he probably loved to collaborate.
He said he was really unhappy when it was super popular because it meant he'd have to make it again.
Well, then he can get a bunch of ass brewers, you know?
You need some people like us to come and help him peel
exactly,
the beets.
Exactly, exactly.
And do that work and share it, right?
We should all come in like white clothes, too, so it looks like we've murdered someone. Oh,
that'd be great for Instagram. Man, okay.
Exactly.
Okay, we got to talk to Steve then. We'll let him know if he wants to make the beet sour again that we're volunteering to help with the beets.
Well, let's try to make a little tweak to it. Let's not just make the beets by Steve.
Oh,
you know, if we're going to go and work on it, let's do some collaborative beats. That could just be the name.
Yeah, well, what goes with beats? Goat cheese?
Oh, geez, that'd be a weird one. That would, again, that'd probably be sour, you know. You're probably going to get some lactobacillus.
Oh, you probably would, yeah. That's where the lacto would come from.
Yeah.
Now you got me thinking. It'll be like a salad in a glass.
Yeah, exactly. Not sure what to think about that. It's worth thinking about, though. All right, well, let's get into Let's get into this last beer of this session here. This is the Kilter Fudge Double Chocolate Stout.
Fudge.
It is 7% alcohol.
Jeez.
Fudge, a rich and luscious chocolate dessert stout brewed with caramel and chocolate malts. Pure Ecuadorian cocoa nibs, milk sugar, and vanilla.
See, I like cocoa nibs. I like them in beer, but even more, I just like them on their own.
That'd be good, yeah.
Just chew on them.
Get that I don't think I've ever done that before.
They have a really interesting fermented flavor, real earthiness without the sugar and everything. They're really nice. Wow. Okay, so this is pouring similar to the last few. It's incredibly dark. And opaque, and it's got a nice tan beige head. Not nearly as thick and heavy and rocky as the Nuncial Pass.
Yeah, no shit. Well, not many beers are.
But it's decent.
It's actually not as sweet on the aroma.
Wow.
It's kind of subdued.
Very subtle in the aroma, yeah. There's not a lot going on.
That's
there,
amazing.
Is there?
This is, what did I say this was? This is like a 7% beer. It's just a, let's give this a swirl.
Very subdued. I'm getting just like really subtle hints of chocolate in the aroma.
Yeah, I'm not picking much out.
Maybe a little bit of vanilla or something.
Wow.
A little bit of booze, but yeah,
this has
got to
be the smallest aroma I've had on a 7%
beer. For a big beer, it's pretty subtle.
Yeah. Man. Well, let's get into the flavor and hope it's not as subtle. It's not. Whoa.
Ooh. I got the booze. Got the booze right off the bat.
Yep.
Whoa.
It's chocolate and then booze.
What is that? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Tastes like eight.
Tastes like fudge, though.
Sorta.
Yeah, it's not milk chocolate, but it's chocolate. It's a sweet chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's definitely chocolate. It's not like punching you in the face chocolate.
No, yeah.
But it's definitely chocolate. A little bit of sweetness.
Little caramel boozy, in the background.
A little caramel for sure. A little roasty.
Little roast.
Mm. That one's got a nice body. I like the body.
It does,
yeah. It's a little smoother, a little creamier. It's got a little more substance to it.
Yeah, a little sweet, not super sweet.
A little bit, yeah.
This one actually probably tastes really good mixed 50-50 with the peanut butter stout.
It could, yeah. Yeah, it's not. This isn't quite as chocolatey as the other one, but it's decent.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Supposedly has more IBU, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff hidden in this one for sure. Actually, I don't know if this one actually has the IBU on it.
They don't have the IBU.
Yeah, 7%, but that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Because, it has a little bit of bitterness in the finish.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's got that lactose in there. It's definitely it's sweeter. It's not as sweet as I expected, really, for the lactose.
That's got a bit of sweetness.
It'd probably be really, really dry if it wasn't for the lactose.
Yeah. Probably. Interesting.
Yeah. I wouldn't be unhappy having this at the bar. Probably wouldn't order a second glass, though.
Yeah, a second might be tough. It's a little heavy.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun trying beers from away, right?
Oh, absolutely. These are, I guess, unavailable in our marketplace.
They're unavailable, for the most part, I think, outside of Manitoba in general.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to try them, you got to make friends with someone in Manitoba or go there, which I keep meaning to do.
So yeah, I would highly recommend seeking out the Kilter Fog Machine.
Yeah, that was really good.
There was nothing wrong with that at all. That would go down way too nice.
Yeah.
You do a couple of those. What else here? Oh yeah, the peanut butter. The peanut butter was interesting, if you like that kind of thing. And the fudge isn't too bad at all.
Yeah.
And yeah, the brown was pretty nice too. The get up off that thing.
There was no flawed
drinking
beers.
It was an easy drinking brown. Yeah, none of them had any really serious issues. The one was a little over carbonated.
Yeah. You know. But it probably carbonated a little extra in the can. There's a little more fermentation.
Yep.
But you're not tasting any butter or weird shit like that.
No. And nothing tastes like wet cardboard or anything.
Yeah.
Because that's not good.
No. So like I said, there's no serious flaws in these. They're just, some of them might need a little bit of work, but not bad.
Yeah. For the most part, not bad at all. I'm always surprised with the Prairies. They have a little extra challenge with the water back there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on them. Making the best of, you know, what they have.
And we've proven on previous shows, there's some really good beer coming out of the Prairies.
Absolutely. If you know what you're doing, you can make it work.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. I just, before we sign off here, I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters. So we've got the Indie Beer Show out of San Diego. Nice. Liz from Hop Bower, again from Southern California there.
Thanks,
and
Liz.
Our co-host, Steve. If you'd like to support us on Patreon and help us bring the show to new heights, go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.